Hey, it's Scott Tempesta with Sailing Anarchy, back with another one of our podcasts. This is number 223. Pretty sure I'm right on that. I spent some time with a couple of the podcasts talking about, okay, decided to get a J105 and, you know, talked about the reasons, the pluses and the minuses. And this isn't the first boat I've bought and, you know, sort of redone, right? I did the, Santa Cruz 33. Sorry, I'm just thinking about some of the boats. The Santa Cruz 33, I pretty much redid, new rig, obviously new sails, new paint, new bottom, new winches, you know, pretty much everything. And we're going back a ways. I mean, this has got to be 8 years now, something like that. I reference my boats to the years of whatever girlfriend was sailing on that boat at that time, and then I like remember when we broke up, and then I know the date that I had the boat. I did that boat, and then I bought another Flying Tiger. Right, I started off with the Flying Tiger. I went to the Melgus 32. Which needed absolutely nothing. The first Flying Tiger was brand new, so it didn't need much other than, you know, the usual stuff, sails, sheets, lines, halyards, et cetera, et cetera. Melgus 32 was great. Didn't need a thing. It couldn't have been more perfect. And then, you know, I thought, I'm going to step back and into, you know, the way back, my personal way back machine, and I'm going to get a Santa Cruz 33. And I did. And as mentioned, got it really cherry. Really cherry. It's a pretty cool boat. Really screwed up on the mast. I'll just as a sideline here, I got a Selden mast. And there's a one guy that worked there. I think his name was Tim. He's not there anymore. You know, I just ordered a standard height double spreader aluminum rig, right? Well, they come back to me and say, we can't do that. It's we're gonna have to make it a fractional rig. Because we can't do a double spreader. The tube will be too small, and you know, we don't have any confidence in it. And I remember going, "What are you insane? I've been sailing Morsi boats for years, both double and triple spreader rigs, and not one of them ever fell down. And they're much thinner than the section that you're recommending, anyway. So give me that." And they're insistent. A single spreader, you know, larger tube, claiming that it would be lighter. And, you know, it's one of those times in my life, and I've done this a few times, where I just folded and said, oh, okay. I mean, I should have said, absolutely not. You guys are crazy. Do you guys even know what you're doing? And so I got the rig, and it was just absolutely miserable. It was huge. It didn't bend. It was awful, just an awful thing. But, you know, I did that, put that whole boat together. Then got another Flying Tiger and redid that. That was a backyard special. That boat was sitting, I think it raced for a year in San Diego, and it sat in the guy's backyard for a better part of a decade, if not a decade. And that thing needed everything. And so I put everything new on it, except the rig. That was salvageable. And, you know, it seemed expensive, but not that expensive. I don't really know. I guess I've lost track of how much these things actually cost. My philosophy is this. I don't know if anybody else, boat owner wise, thinks this way, but typically I go, I'm not going to keep track of how much I'm spending, because if I keep track of how much I'm spending, I won't do this. Because as we all know, no matter what level we're at, and of course, you know, it's a cascading upwards scale. With the bigger the boat, the more money, clearly. But that was really fun. Loved doing that thing. And then I did the Ericsson 35 Mark II. Again, another a boat that needed a lot of work. And we did it, dutifully did it. Painted the boat, all new sails. I mean, it really came out quite nice. And I still have that boat. Really just a great boat, awful to race, piggy, tippy, slow, awkward, didn't like to tack, didn't much care to turn at all. But we had really good success with it. We had a tough time beating Benny Mitchell and his cast of superb sailors. We could never quite match their upwind speed, but we were faster downwind. So, you know, it's always better to be faster upwind. And they were most of the time. We beat them a few times, but really they dominated us. But regardless, that's not really the topic today to talk about how much worse I am than Benny Mitchell, which is no surprise to anybody. So then, you know, as you know, I got the J-105 and okay, cool. You know, and the boat needed work. You know, I had a rig survey and it was pretty hideous how bad the mast was. Just the corrosion, the bubbling, places where the paint was gone completely. And it was just bare aluminum that was, you know, had been exposed to the conditions for God knows how long. And thankfully, it's only San Diego, but the point remains the same. The mast was really trashed and we considered getting a brand new one. And I suppose if I'd had more time, I would have done that. Buzz Ballinger, excuse me, is actually a licensed mast builder now by J-Boats. And Buzz builds a really nice product, always has, in aluminum. And he makes them. And, you know, I thought they were pretty reasonably priced, but the time frame was a bit lengthy for me as I was in some bizarre hurry to get the boat ready for at least the beer can series, which we did. The first one was last night, and I'll talk about that. But the mast on there, so those of you who know and those of you who don't, some of you don't care, I'm not going to spend much time on it. But, you know, the masts that were fast were the hall spars always. Of course, you can't get those anymore. Sparcraft masts were rumored to be absolutely terrible, so nobody used them. And so I thought this was a good boat, Larry Harvey's old boat, if anybody knows who he is. And they apparently went through a dozen masts when he first got the boat, just to find the one that was just right. You know, they just kept, you know, looking at the bend characteristics and all kinds of stuff, and they chose the mast that's on there now. So I thought, well, it's a good spar, it's a hall spar. Let's go ahead and, you know, redo the rig, right? Yeah, and of course that also meant the rod rigging, right? Because that was, I mean, the rod rigging was so friggin' old on the boat. I think it's almost as old as the boat, which is ridiculous. You can't have 20-year-old rod rigging. I mean, you certainly can't have 20-year-old rod rigging on a marginal spar and expect, and if it falls down, expect an insurance company to pay for it. It's not going to happen. You know, they're going to immediately go, where's the rig? Where's the rig survey? Where are the receipts for all the things that you were supposed to have done? And if you don't have any and you didn't do them, they're not going to pay your claim. It's just not. So, you know, I didn't want to go through that. So, okay, we got to do that. So let me just start at, you know, kind of where the initial price point was, fully well knowing that we were not going to end up there. We were going to go significantly upwards from there. I guess what's surprising is how much more upwards. I know everything has gotten so expensive. It's just crazy. Everything is expensive. And I kind of, you know that, but I guess I've got a little sticker shock when I start to look at what the costs are. And so what I decided to do was write down what everything costs and then go through it and be horrified how expensive. This is a J-105, for God's sake. You know, this isn't a new Carkeek 45. You know, or Radical Pew 80 or whatever. It's not, you know, nothing like that. The stratospheric price range that those boats exist in. Come on. I mean, the amount of money that you would have to have to do that is beyond comprehension, really. And so at my low level, white trash, dirtbag approach to things, I thought, okay, let me take a look at this. And I wanted to share it with y'all because I don't know, am I tripping? But I think it's ridiculous how much things actually cost. So I'm sure I forgot a bunch of stuff here, but I just wanted to kind of write down sort of the major things that I can think of and then just kind of share them with you. So This is hole number 502, this J105. And, you know, a good reputation for a pretty decent boat, no doubt. And you know, given that there aren't many decent 105s available, those of you who are looking to buy one or have bought them, you know that it's very hit or miss, mostly miss out there. And this boat looked like it had sort of the goods. So I thought, well, I've been looking for a while. It's pretty frustrating. Let's just go ahead. Let's do this boat. This would be good. Okay, so let's start. Let's say I bought the boat for $50,000, which I talked about this before. And just let me go over it real quickly. That alone is fucking ridiculous. This is a boat that's 21 years old. They're all old. They quit building them. And if it didn't have the strength of the 105 class behind it, it's a $20,000 boat. Honestly, a $25,000 boat, maybe. I mean, you know, given the boat's sketchy build reputation, you know, given the number of permutations that the J105 has had over the years, given the huge weight discrepancies, you know, pre-scrimp boats versus scrimp boats. You know, I've got a scrimp boat. It's light, it's underclass weight, but I don't think it's anywhere near where the pre-scrimp boats are in terms of how much lighter they actually are. For 400 pounds, I think the pre-scrimp boats are. It's a lot lighter. And, you know, then they just carry the lead ballast, you know, in the middle of the boat, and it's great. I couldn't find one. The couple that were out there were so beat. And that's another thing with these 105s. You know, they get raced hard and they get put away wet. And yes, there are some really, really nice examples of boats that have been redone. They're raced hard. They're not put away wet. And they're good. They're good boats to get. Problem is, you're nowhere. You couldn't touch a boat like that for anything less than $90,000. You just can't. And I know why. And I'm going to tell you why. So let's say I got the boat for $50,000. Okay. I'm going to do sales, put sales on the boat. And of course, I've talked about this. I'm going quantum. I would do quantums even if they weren't known as the fastest sales in the 105 class, which they are. I like the guys at Quantum. I like the product. I like the vibe. And I like the brand. And I'm just a quantum guy. I'm not an anything else guy. I'm not a North guy. I'm not an Almond guy. I'm sure as hell not a Doyle guy. UK, I like John Bennett, you know, and they do actually, the Texas Loft makes really fast J105 sales. It's kind of a known thing. So, you know, I would probably go there. I'd probably order sales from John Bennett before I'd get sales from anybody else. Actually, I wouldn't buy sales at all from any of those guys. I'd go to one sales. I'd get UK because they're here. And after that, I'd go to one sales and have them make me sales. I really like Paul Eldred. I like the sales that they make. That's what I would do. But, you know, I've got my own personal grievances. I've got beefs with the guys at Ullman here, UK, I mean, Doyle here, and North here. So that's just me, I suppose. But it's just the way things have turned out. It's the way I roll. So, okay, let's just say I'm buying sales and I'm spending $8,000. Okay. So just know that sales are expensive. Okay. Well, it's got to haul the boat out. You know, oh yes, I got it surveyed. Right. Of course. Survey was $750. I needed a rig inspection too. Nah, it was, let's say 400, right? Just started off with there. All right. Well, got to take it out the yard because, well, we want to pull the rig, want to pull the boat out, you know, want to get the bottom nice. It's always, by the way, it's always had an epoxy bottom its entire life, and it still does to this day. So we didn't ask the yard to do any work in terms of anything on the boat. The bottom was fine. We just wet sanded it. You know, I had the old name taken off, had the new name put on, you know, we polished the boat, and then put the boat back in the water, and the rig then had to stay and get painted. Okay. So just so you know how expensive yards are these days, I had the yard do virtually no work on my boat, like virtually none. And the yard bill was over $5,000. And the thing that yards do these days that maybe they didn't in the past, it's certainly not sort of as obvious as they do now, is the charge for lay days. And so I got charged for lay days for the boat. And then I got charged for lay days for the mast because we were having the mast painted there. Getting masts painted is a whole ordeal in and of itself. There's only a few people that paint masts, right? It's a company here in San Diego called R.W. Little, and they're known for doing great work, and they're relatively inexpensive, but they weren't taking any new business. They're so jammed. So, okay. And they've done a cute little thing that they never used to do. So let's say they said it's $4,800 to paint the mast, right? Okay, hey, that's a lot of work, right? But now they add a $1,400 charge to take the mast from whatever yard you're at to their facility in San Diego. Okay, that's a little spendy. Driscoll's normally paints a very nice spar. They don't have nearly the amount of guys there anymore to paint, and they were backlogged too. So fortunately, found a local guy here who's known for doing really good work. But, you know, where are you going to paint a mast? Anywhere near the water in San Diego, you know, unless you're in a facility that's kind of approved to take care of all the fumes and all that stuff. So the guy sets up his own tent and everything and, you know, does really nice work. And, of course, it takes longer than you think it's going to. But regardless, that was $5,000 to paint the mast, right? Right there. Rod rigging. I got to replace all the rod rigging. Hi, $6,500. How are you? Nice to know you, $6,500. That's what that costs. Okay, the rigging. I have a guy down here, Scotty Dalen, SD1D rigging. Could not like the guy more. Could not be more happy and impressed with the rigging that he does. He's done for a number of my boats now, and he's just so thorough, such a good dude. Takes a little extra time. I don't care. He does really good work. And, you know, there's a lot to doing all this, right? He's got to, you know, strip the mast completely of all the old stuff. He's got to get all the stuff back on once it's done. And, you know, it's a lot of work. It really is a lot of work. Okay, let's say that's about $6,000. Okay. So I'm not going to add that up for you, but if I did roughly, that'd be 68, 72, 77, 83. Okay. Oh, $89,000. Okay. You need to transfer the Coast Guard document. Oh, well, that's 500. Okay. Plus I'm going to have to pay sales tax on top of that, which I've not gotten that bill yet, and I'm not looking forward to it. The name to put the new name on the boat was, you know, $500, not too bad. To insure the boat, it was $800. It's interesting. So I insured it through, I don't know, it might be Progressive or it could be Geico. They didn't ask a thing they didn't ask for a survey. They didn't ask for anything. They just insured the boat. And I think that's $800 for the year, something like that. Okay. I mean, it is what it is, but you know, there's the rub there. That is, as I said earlier, if you think if these companies are just going to go ahead and offer you insurance, right? And you think you're good and, oh, that's okay. I got the boat insured if the rig falls down. Bullshit. Then suddenly they're interested now and they'll look up your skirt with a flashlight to find out exactly what the deal is. And they'll just deny you coverage and probably kick you off and you'll never get insured by them again. And probably rightly so. I mean, so I didn't want to go through that. But and so clearly if something does break, I mean, I'm covered. I got all new stuff and, you know, professionally installed. It's all just great. OK, so that's what it was. Yeah, I like to have my crew, you know, represent in the appropriate swag. And through the years, we've made some really great Anarchy gear. And, you know, we've done a good job with the creativity behind it, I think, and the various logos. And so, you know, ordered some hoodies, some shirts, $2,100. Okay. apparel has also gone right through the roof. If anybody's bought anything, you know, anything semi-techy or, you know, anything that's custom logoed and all that kind of stuff. Sure, there are companies that build it cheap, but I go through a guy who's, you know, normally does good work. And so, okay, that's what that costs. All right. I had to, so of course the boat has some things, like there's some engine issues, you know, so I got, in fact, last night after we raced, I noticed the bilges were pretty full of water, and it wasn't a pretty water. It was very gray, and it wasn't head water. It was engine water of some sort. And so got, you know, after we finished last night, my guy came down, you know, took a look at it. Oh yeah, you know, this is rusty. Jesus, you probably should replace that when the boat was out of the water. And, you know, there's some things here that are clearly my fault. I mean, I think I've done due diligence, but I've also grown a bit lazy, and I really should have just, you know, paid attention to every little single thing when the boat was out of the water, but I didn't give it a thought. Of course I read the survey, but I don't recall anything like this must be replaced. Thanks, surveyor. So, you know, God knows what that's going to be. That's probably going to be another $1,500 just because it's really hard to get back. If anybody's seen where the J105 motor is, Jesus Christ. First of all, I don't know why it has to be so far back in the boat, a boat that already sits ass down and doesn't like weight back there. That's where it is. And the access ports to get to it are tiny. And yes, you can move the front of the cover off, but even still, it's just ridiculous. So, you know, I've got that going for me as well. So really and truly, I'm going to be 90 something thousand bucks into this thing. I was talking to a good friend, John Downing. Some of you J105 sailors from back a few years know John. He's had a couple, I think he owned two J105s concurrently. And, he knows all about it. And he, when I was first looking, he goes, Scotty, let me just tell you this. You're going to end up with $100,000. There's no way to get a J105 for anything less than $100,000 when you're sort of done. Now, granted, I've got all brand new stuff. I mean, you can find boats that are nice and they don't have all brand new stuff. And so my price tag is probably slightly higher than what some of those might be, but not really. I mean, I had a chance to buy a really good boat at 85 grand. I offered 80 and then they weren't sure. And then boom, somebody came in and swooped it up. And you know, if I could go back, I would have bought that boat and just go, this is what it costs. So, but I do have a decent boat and I do have nice new pretty much everything. But with any old boat, there's always going to be something. And now in this boat's case, it looks like the engine's got some issues. You know, they've made, the previous owners maintained the motor in terms of maintenance, but I don't think they really cared much about stuff that was kind of going wrong. And certainly they didn't with the mast. I'm not blaming these guys at all. Really nice guys to deal with, but they did nothing in the 15 years they had it here in San Diego. They did nothing to the rig in terms of maintenance. And that's why it looks, that's why it looked like it did. And it's why it required what it did. Okay. So I've got all that money. So that's the amount. And I laugh at it because if I don't laugh, I'll cry. I know it's expensive to do this. Of course, everybody knows it. That's a boat owner. And I, you know, I had a rough idea that this is probably where I would end up, but it's just startling when you, you know, you just get these bills and like, well, why? I remember just going, why is the yard $5,000? When I got A5, the Ericsson 35 here, I had the old shitty paint taken off, this awful black, horrid, red, I don't know what it was, awful. I'm sure three people died from the toxicity of taking that paint off. And then, you know, fair the bottom a little bit, and then new paint all sprayed on. And that yard bill was $5,000. Granted, probably didn't have the lay days, didn't have the double lay days for the mast, but they actually did work on the boat. The yard here, and I'm not dissing these guys at all, like these guys. You know, I know it's a lot of work, craning in, craning out, mast in. I get it. I know that. And, you know, they've got to be paid for that work. But Jesus, man, it just really added up to a number that just doesn't make me happy. So we got the boat together. We stepped, the Wednesday night race was last night. We stepped the mast Wednesday morning, hoping to God that the rod and everything fit. And it did. The guys did a great job with every little thing. The yard did a good job getting the mast in. All really great. Got the boat roughly tuned, took it back over to San Diego Yacht Club, had Eric Heim come down from Quantum. And, you know, we set the rig up where these guys think it should probably be, just in terms of, you know, what the lose gauge says. Oh, well, there's another thing. Oh, Scott, do you have a lose gauge? Well, no, I don't. Which one do I need? You need the RT10. Okay. After discount, $600. You know, it's just like, these are the things that, oh, okay. Oh, that's 700. Oh, 950. Oh. You know, it's like these things start to add up. So got the lose gauge, got the boat pretty well set up, put up the sails that came with the boat. The main kind of okay. Spinnaker, I don't know. We weren't very fast downwind. We were okay. But let's put it this way. The Quantum Spinnaker boat just ground us down on the first run. All right. Let me just tell you, let me give you a quick synopsis. Got out there, practiced a little bit, you know, tried to do what we could do. Got off the line in nice shape. Second at the first weather mark. Immediately started catching the boat ahead of us. And this was looking pretty good. We started to catch them. And they jibed away. Like, okay, great. But meanwhile, the Saabstad kite boat is creeping on this and starting to get a little bit on our air. And I'm trying to fend them off a little bit. But, you know, the problem is you don't know San Diego. Or if you do, we're going to, you know, head into North Island too hard, I thought. So we jibed away and then jibed right back. And we're in great shape. But in San Diego, there's a point when if you race down the bay, you get toward the aircraft carrier dock and that little weird sort of vortex of no wind, wind. It's very strange. And we got completely hosed there. I mean, just completely hosed. And then we had kelp. And so we were just awful and slow and finally got the kelp off. But by then the damage had been done and we went on to finish a fifth place out of 9 boats. So not a great debut. Pleased with a couple of things, displeased with some others, mostly just the flukiness of this series. I usually come out on the good end of all this stuff. And I did not, yesterday. We did not, I should say. I'm putting together a nice little crew. I cannot wait for the sails to get here. The spinnaker's done, I believe. Main is being done, and the jibs are being done. I'm doing a light one and an apparent one. I mean, I'm sorry, all-purpose one, AP, and then a class kite. And so I know that there's another boat in the fleet who has Quantum sails, and they told me that it was a complete difference maker on their boat in terms of just how much faster the boat is. He said it's almost unbelievable how much faster we are with these sails. So, you know, I'm not using any of this as any excuse. I have no excuses from yesterday. I mean, I didn't even know we really had kelp, and the guys didn't even know how to like use the kelp prism to see it. You know, like, well, what's the angle? We can't really tell. And then there's a kelp window for the rudder, and we could see there was kelp. And plus these things also catch kelp on the strut, which is just the worst. So we got a whole new thing to deal with there, which is really bad for San Diego because there's so much kelp here. But, hey, you know, it's the first blood and, you know, some highlights and some lowlights. Welcome to yacht racing. I think that when the new sails get here and we get out and sail a little bit more, I'll get one of the Quantum guys come out and, you know, help us get the boat kind of where we think it needs to be. You know, we're just shooting in the dark right now. Up till yesterday, I had never in my life even sailed on a J105. And this boat has a wheel. And so, you know, that's a whole nother kettle of fish. But yes, the boat's going to come out sometime in the winter. Yes, we're going to put a tiller on it. Yes, that's going to be a few thousand bucks, you know, for all of that. And oh, and then there's a big giant hole that needs to be, you know, filled and gel coated. And yeah, so the torture never stops, as we know. And yes, I'll be kissing $100,000, you know, before I know it. I'm dangerously close already, But the truth is, because of the strength of the market, and that is, these things are really successful one design boats in a number of places. And San Diego's got a nice little fleet with some guys who've been sailing their boats for a long, long time. And they've got some stuff figured out. I don't. We've got figuring out to do. But as somebody said, you shouldn't worry really about the kind of money that you're putting into the 105. You're basically parking your money, because this boat is going to be worth pretty much everything that I put into it. And, you know, when I do go to sell it next month, kidding. So I look at that with some like, okay, there's some solace there. Like, yeah. Okay. Spend this money now. You'll get it back, you know, when you do go to sell the boat. I'm not too worried about it. I don't really go play the game that way. Like, oh, well, if I get my money out of it, it rarely works that way in use on used sailboats, as all of you know who have bought and sold. But if you get a class boat, there's strength in numbers, safety in numbers, and sort of a price safety net because of it. So while it's ludicrous to say you put $100,000 into a J-105, yep, find me a good one that hasn't. And so we're hoping that we're going to have ourselves a good one. And I'll certainly keep you apprised as to how it goes. For Sailing Anarchy, I'm Scott Tempesta, and we'll see you next time.